The scripture this afternoon is Luke 15, and I'll begin at verse 11 through the end of the chapter. Luke 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. So far we read God's holy and inspired, fallible word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you perhaps know this section of Luke 15. I've said before, as the parable concerning the prodigal son. However, as we've already seen the last time, in beginning we see more accurately it could be described as, and more fitting, as the loving father. And indeed, we will see the love of the father shining through not only the younger son and the reception of the father, which he had for him in his return. But we will see this afternoon, I trust, also the love of the father, even toward the elder son who remains sitting outside the father's door. And so the next time I hope to preach in the afternoon, when that will be, we will consider more detailed the love of the father. But this afternoon I want to look at the elder brother, because there is ample instruction for us here as well. You remember the parables in this section are spoken by Jesus to two groups of people. On the one hand, there were the publicans and sinners, which were exemplified here in this parable by the younger son. But now, really what Jesus' point is, in many respects, I believe, in regard to this parable, is to show to the elder son, who are the scribes and Pharisees, the heart of the Father and his reception of sinners, so that they too would be drawn unto him, unto his Father. And so this afternoon we want to consider, with God's help, the theme over these three sermons, the sons of the Father. In particular, we're going to look this afternoon at the elder son with three thoughts. First of all, we're going to see his self-righteous character. Secondly, we're going to see his revealing confession. And third, his Father's calling. You remember last time, perhaps, we looked at the younger son, and we saw his rebellion. Then we saw his repentance. We could have said his confession too. But what a different confession we're going to find than the elder son. And we would have noticed in the younger son his being received of the Father, not only having been called. So this afternoon, we're going to be confronted with a sinner. Not the one who has asked for his inheritance, not the one who has gone out from the Father's house and never intending to return, but one who has seemingly stayed in the Father's house, who has seemingly kept all the commandments that were laid before him, and yet at the end of the day, he was no closer to the heart of the Father than the younger son. When we look at the response of this elder brother, the response of the elder brother is to the reception of the younger we have considered last time. And there can be those also, even in the church, in a very conservative and reformed church, who have this kind of response to sinners, perhaps great sinners, who have not had the privileges and benefits that we have had growing up. And we see then that sinners who are perhaps living in sin and they're brought into the knowledge of the Son of God through the gospel, they come to repentance, they receive all the blessings of salvation, they receive the kisses and the embraces of the Father in their hearts by faith, they receive the signet ring, the clothing, and the very status of sons or daughters of God. And there are those who, in such conservative and even reformed churches, look at these individuals with, yes, disdain, with perhaps envy, and even hatred. And the thoughts of their hearts perhaps go something like this. Well, I have used all the means of grace my whole life. I've been baptized, brought up in the covenant. If there was any who was to be accepted of God, it would have been me rather than this one who comes off of the street, who's been engaged in so many kinds of sins. And now it seems I've been passed by, and the younger brother is received freely before me. And there are those too who, in reaction against the free offer of the gospel, the proclamation of the salvation to needy sinners, who react to that very message as well. That whosoever believes in the Son shall receive eternal life and never perish. They react to this free offer of the gospel in such a way as the elder brother would. And so this afternoon we're going to be confronted with a sinner, although of a different color, if you will, a different stripe than what we have seen last week. And Jesus is going to be forcibly putting before us the question that was put before his hearers, especially the Pharisees and scribes.
do we demonstrate this spirit, this attitude of the elder brother? Well, who do we meet when we meet this elder brother? Where do we meet him? Well, we read in this parable, he's out in the field. He's doing what I suppose his father had expected him to do and what he thought his father was expecting him to do. And it perhaps was drawing near the close of the day and he's returning home. He's done his labor and he's coming back to the house. But he's coming back to the house in an entirely different manner. Just hours before, the father had seen the younger son coming and he runs to meet him and brings him into the house. And we know what transpired then. But now we're seeing the elder son who was out in the field laboring coming back to the house also. We read in verse 25. Now his elder son. You see, this is what the parable is about, the father. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He doesn't enter the house. He's staying outside. He draws near and he's struck by this seemingly change of tone of what had taken place perhaps many days and months and maybe even years before. There was a sound of music and dancing. Not the kind of dancing we find today in the world, which stirs up immoral desires of the participants, but this kind of dancing that would have been known to the Jewish culture in which David, in dancing before the ark, he's dancing to the glory of God with his foot and with his mouth and with the rhythm of music. And here we could imagine only what must have been happening in this house of the father as he and his servants and the whole house are leaping and dancing and rejoicing with joy. This younger son who had been lost was found and he was welcomed home in love. Now, if the elder brother wondered about the music and dancing, one could only wonder what he would have thought if he had seen his father running to meet the younger son. And certainly this attitude which we find here of the elder brother is in line with what we consider a Pharisaical heart. It's an outward form of religion without the matter of the heart. And so this elder brother, what does he do? He comes near the house. He doesn't go in and he sees one of the servants. And the word used here is for a young boy or girl who is serving. And he asks what's going on. And the servant replies as if the elder brother should know what had happened. Why, says the servant, your brother has come home and your father has killed the fatted calf. Isn't this wonderful? Your brother is home safe and sound. But what unfolds from that point on is nothing more than selfish love and the self-seeking nature of the elder son. You see, this elder son is not one in heart with his father. He's really in opposition against his father's will. He has no real union in heart with his father. He's not sympathetic with his father's grace. All he's thinking about is his own joy, his own pleasure, his own purpose. And we could really say, isn't that the picture of sin? If all we have is a selfish mind and a selfish heart, we will never understand the magnanimous grace of God to undeserving sinners. There's never true joy, but there's always complaining. And it focuses upon ourselves. And this can be demonstrated not only in unbelievers, but also in backslidden believers as well. There can be those who are true children of God, and when they see perhaps those who have fallen to sin, and restored again. There may be some jealousy in their hearts or some question in their hearts to question this true conversion, whether it's real and genuine. And there are those who are perhaps the elder brother who don't have the patience to see the time elapse and growth in the life of a younger brother who's come to repentance and faith. There are other things that could be mentioned as well, but when we see this elder brother, we're not here in the parable speaking about one who is backslidden, who was once a believer. Rather, we are talking about one who is an unbeliever. Though he dwelt in the Father's house, he didn't know the Father. They were both sons of the Father, yet we saw the younger son had left the Father and gone his own way till he came to himself. Then he came back to the Father. But this elder brother, though he lived in the Father's house that whole time, though he had served his Father, yet what we realize is he was at a greater distance, we could say, perhaps, than even the younger son was in that field feeding the swine. The elder brother denies the grace of his father. He doesn't understand his own need of the same grace that his younger brother experienced. Now, what do the actions and character here of the elder brother show us? Well, they're demonstrating to us the reaction of the scribes and Pharisees, because what was taking place in Jesus' day? There were harlots and publicans and sinners who the scribes and Pharisees hated, who were coming by the droves to hear Jesus Christ and the message of free forgiveness and pardon of sin. And they were being received and restored again. Jesus was saying to them, your sins, though they are many, are forgiven you. And these self-righteous Pharisees and scribes who imagined that they, if anyone was in the Father's house, and they, if anyone were going to be saved, were not hearing the words of Jesus of salvation. And if Jesus was really the Messiah who he said he was, he wouldn't be hanging around all these sinners, and he would come and live by us, scribes and Pharisees. Now, how subtly can this attitude of Phariseeism enter into our hearts and into the heart of the church? Now, if Jesus came to this world today and walked on the earth, what church is he going to join? And what if during that preaching of our Lord and Savior, rather than the multitudes who had come to the church, had been in the church their whole life, that murderer, that child molester, that thief who we read about in the newspaper is coming to find his place, to hear the word, and he comes to repentance. Would we, hearing that truth of repentance of sinners, enter into the house of God with rejoicing and joy? Would our response be to magnify the grace of God in the lives of such? Or would we perhaps have the tendency rather to say, well, I don't know how well it will fit into our congregation. Maybe we should start a church for those people by themselves. What do we do when the face of our Creator God is beaming with joy and the angels surrounding him see and rejoice because sinners are coming to repentance? Do we believe that those, no matter how sinful they may have been and come to repentance, have been clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness, have the ring, the signet ring of family relationship on their hand, and have sandals upon their feet, that they are complete in Jesus Christ as much as the most advanced believer in the most orthodox church? And will we be united one with them in Jesus Christ so that together we may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior? Recognizing we all have needs that would be fulfilled alone in Him. You see, the self-righteous Pharisee does not understand the grace of the Father. The joy of the true believer to the Pharisee is really repugnant. It turns them off. The Pharisee who sees one just can't keep it within him how much Jesus means to them. Because of all that Christ has done to forgive their sins, to deliver them out of bondage and service to the works of the law, the Pharisee cannot, nor will he, understand. You see, this elder brother had the privileges while he was in the Father's house. He had witnessed all the same blessings the younger son had. And you remember, in the far-off country, what was it that drew the son back to the Father? It was, look, my Father's heart is so overwhelmingly good, even to his own servants. Perhaps there's a place in my Father's heart even for me, even though I've turned against Him and rebelled. The servants in my Father's house have it better than I do right now. I'm going to return and say I have sinned. And yet there are those who, as Pharisees, have supposed they've done all the right things, dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's in their religious life. They've read their Bibles, they've said their prayers, they've gone to church when they're supposed to, done all these things, even prayed, and perhaps been convicted of sin at times. And yet are no different than the elder brother here. What does he say? Let's look. Verse 27. The servant comes and says, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was very angry, and would not go in. And so his father comes out and treats him. Now how does he answer his father? Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. You see, the elder son really doesn't understand his relationship to his father and the requirements that he had. Though he had grown up under the commands of his father, he never really understood his own heart. He had not been drawn near to the Father's heart. When the gospel of Jesus Christ is set forth as music for the burdened, convicted sinner, do our hearts rejoice when sinners come to repentance and are justified by faith? When the gospel message is set forth with all of its beauty and the love of a triune God for sinners, or do we react when we somehow are missing what is set forth in this parable and say, but I've done all these things and why didn't I get the fatted calf to be made merry with my friends? You see, the heart of the younger son was revealed for us. Jesus uncovers, as it were, this younger son's heart in that far-off field when he's sitting down by the swine and he's thinking these things. And Jesus tells us what's in his heart. He came to himself. And now the elder son is out on the doorstep. And Jesus, as it were, removes the covering from this man's heart also. And the thinking of this elder brother goes along the lines of like this. He is angry, Jesus says. He is furious, actually. He would not go in. He would not go into the father's house. He was sitting out on the doorstep pouting. And how is his thinking going? It's something like this. I've worked all these years for my father. I've slaved for him. I've kept all his laws and his commandments. And I have nothing to show for it. You see, this reveals his heart. In the father's house is the younger son who's enjoying what? His friends? The fatted calf? The music? I think none of it at all. He's enjoying the Father. He's just beside himself with the knowledge his Father had restored him, had received and accepted him. Nothing to do with the fatted calf, nothing to do with all this music and pleasure and dancing. And now yet, the elder son, you see, has no understanding of the grace of his father. He's outside on the step, pouting because he doesn't have any of these things. And there are those in the church, too, who, when they see perhaps someone going to the Lord's table as a Pharisee, they look and they wonder and they're, how can that person go? And it's nothing more than a Pharisaical heart when they do not go themselves. Really, the language used here by Jesus of the elder brother as he flew into a rage. You see, this hatred, this enmity, this resentment towards his younger brother must have been festering for some time. This just wasn't an instantaneous reaction on the elder brother's part. And I wouldn't doubt that the elder brother must be thinking as well, oh, here we go again. The younger brother always gets the favor of dad. Dad was always partial to the brother, my brother at all, always anyway. And it isn't fair. And that's the Pharisee's heart. As he sees, as she sees, as they see sinners going into the kingdom of God, as these Pharisees are here, their hearts are saying, in essence, it isn't fair. We've been serving God our whole life and nothing has happened. And now these go in before us. But here we see the love of the Father. What does the Father do? Does he stay in the house? No, he goes outside to where his second prodigal son is sitting. And as it were, he sits down on the bench beside him. And he's faced with confronting this wandering prodigal son. The distance and the rebellion of the younger son in leaving his father's house led him to his passions and his sinful desires. But the distancing and the rebellion of the elder son is evidenced in his anger and his refusing to enter his father's house. And what's the elder brother's confession? Well, that brings us to the second thing we need to consider. This outward action of this brother is coming out now in his confession. Look closely at what he's saying. It reveals his character. It reveals his heart. So his father is here, sitting out on the step, verse 28, entreating him to come in, begging him to come in and enjoy the grace of the Father. And what is the answer? And he answering said to his father, Father? No. He doesn't know his father. He doesn't own his father. He just slaved for his father. He lived in the house as a servant. His father was the master, never the loving father. And so the elder brother says, lo, these many years, as many years could be implied as your younger brother has been enjoying himself in sin, so long have I served you, I have slaved for you, I've been in bondage for you. Notice how many times it's about him. And doesn't this remind us of the parable Jesus told us of the Pharisee who goes up into the front of the temple and he thanks God for all that he has done and is. Listen to these words. Lo, these many years do I, verse 29, serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. It's all about him. He even uses a lesser word. It's not the fatted calf, which was the special reserved animal for extreme occasions. It was just simply, you never even gave me a little kid, a little goat, to make merry with my friends. Not to make merry with my father. You remember last time when I pointed out, especially when at the beginning of this parable, the younger brother comes to the father and what does he say? Give me. And we said this exposed his heart. Well, what do we have here in verse 29? Thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You see, the elder brother never knew his father as the giver of so many blessings and good gifts. And when he sees the overwhelming grace of his father in displaying to his younger brother kindness, mercy, forgiveness, grace, he's angry. It isn't fair. And yet his charge against his father, which really what this is unjust. It's not grounded in justice. His father owed him nothing. In the son's mind, the elder son, he thought, he assumed, all he did ought to earn his father's favor. We're going to see at the end of the parable, the father said, I was always here. I was always with you. Yet in the son's thinking, in the son's heart, in the son's understanding, he had done all of this. He is working toward. He deserved. He ought to have had. And notice how he does not love his brother. He says, notice, he doesn't call him his father. He says, but as soon, verse 30, but as soon as this thy son, not my brother, your son. And whether what follows is true or not, he makes accusation, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He's bringing up dirt about his brother. Because you see the enmity of his heart. The younger son had come to his father and asked for his inheritance ahead of time. Though it wasn't appropriate and it wasn't good, it was still his inheritance. And now the older brother is throwing it back in his face as if somehow he had stolen this inheritance from his father. Your younger son has devoured his living with harlots. What was it that disturbed this elder brother most? Not because the younger son had offended his father, but because his father had received him again and forgiven and shown grace and kindness and love. Now, in spite of all that we have seen about the elder brother, What Jesus really wants to show us in this parable is the heart of his Father. I trust by now you see that the elder brother really was in no different position in his heart spiritually than the younger son was when he was out in the field feeding the swine. They both read a distant and estranged from God and in rebellion against their father. And what Jesus is going to do here in this parable, as he does so marvelously and wondrously in many of his parables, is draw in the hearts of even those who hated him to show them that he would be kind and gracious to them should they return. We'll talk more about this the next time, but I want to, in beginning, speak about this love of the Father shown here in this parable as well. The Father's call. The son, the elder son, is sincerely called by his Father. It's clearly stated for us in verse 28. And he, the elder son, was furious and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Jesus clearly is setting before us the heart of his Father. And the heart of the Father is to go out to entreat sinners. And it's especially Pharisees and scribes who have in their mind this understanding somehow, well, if there's a certain number of elect, well, then those people will be saved, and it's a cold and calculated thing somehow that those come into the kingdom of God. How different, far different, is Jesus setting forth of the heart of his Father here. It is indeed true. There are those whom God has given as Father to his Son from all eternity. But we see the call of the Gospels clearly set before us in this passage. Here is the son, full of anger, full of bitterness, full of jealousy and self-pity. And the father goes to entreat him. What's he doing? What's entreating mean? He's urging him. He's speaking to his elder son. We're not told the conversation, but the word entreat indicates he's reasoning with his elder son to say, come, you have no reason to be upset. You have no reason to be angry. You have no reason to stay outside the house. Come in and rejoice with us. He exhorts him. He instructs him. He calls him to come in. And the word Jesus uses here is he just didn't go outside and say, what are you doing out here? Get in the house. No. It's a ongoing, continual calling and urging and asking and imploring him to come in. And every time the gospel is proclaimed, it comes to self-righteous sinners who suppose they've done all the things that needed to be done. And somehow God would be pleased with all their activity and having not lived like other people live today. And he says, you've missed the point. It's my grace that you need. It's forgiveness and cleansing and pardon. You see, the Father did not come outside to sit on the step there in a way of judgment at this time and wrath. But he comes in the ministry of the Word to persuade the elder son of his folly and of his sin. What does he say to him? Verse 31. And the father said to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. He is saying, son, as it were, my child, you and you alone are the cause of the separation between you and me. Thou art ever with me. I was always near at hand. I have always been here. Every day you went out and you came in until this present time. And now you refuse to enter in. You have my words, you have my promises, you have the preaching of the word, and yet you begrudge me this day for the magnitude of my grace that I have shown to your brother. The Lord here is addressing this group of Pharisees who were complaining to him and to everyone else around them how Jesus was accepting and receiving sinners and eating with them. And what Jesus is showing to the scribes and Pharisees, that same grace that I'm showing to publicans and sinners, that grace is available now, today, for you. The disposition, the attitude of the Father's heart was as gracious toward the prodigal, the profligate, the publican and sinners as it was to the public, the Pharisee and the self-righteous man. Would you imagine if this elder brother sitting there on the step would have listened to the entreat of his father, would have listened to the reasoning of his father, "Son, all that I have is yours. Come into the house and rejoice with us. I have ever been with you, son." And if he had received, if he had begun to understand, the anger in his heart was sin. It was his own evil heart. It was his own sin that separated him and his relationship with his father. Do you suppose the son would have left him sitting on the step? Should he have come to say, "Father, my anger is unjustified. I've been a proud, self-righteous Pharisee." I don't think the father for one moment would have left him there. He would have called his servants again and said, "Slay the fatted calf. Bring hither the robe and the ring and the shoes. My son, though he was in my house, though he was lost, he's found. We may make glad as my sons were lost and they are found. They were dead and are alive again." But we're not told what happened. Verse 32 tells us the end of this parable Jesus told. "It was meet," the father says, "that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found," and we're left hanging. Like, what was the end of the story? What did the elder brother do? That's the point of Jesus with the parable. That these self-righteous Pharisees would listen to the parable and be convicted by the goodness of the Father and be drawn to Him. The history that unfolds tells us in some ways how the story ended. The next Passover that took place, the anger and the bitterness of the scribes and Pharisees came to the point where they cried out, "Crucify him." Some 40 years later, the inheritance that they had of even the land wherein they dwelt and Jerusalem where they lived was taken from them, and the temple was razed to the ground. You see, it seemed the elder brother at that time was not pacified by the father. He continued to rebel against his father. Did his father change? No. On the day of Pentecost, we see the servants of the Father standing and proclaiming the message of the gospel, that you with wicked hands have slain the Prince of Glory. And he calls them to repentance. And thousands who heard the message entered into the Father's house. What rejoicing in that day. And there are some still among us who are living as the younger son in a far-off country, or as prodigals in your families and perhaps in the church. But there are perhaps, must it be said, a number as well, or perhaps a greater number, who are as the elder brother, whose hearts are really no different than the younger. When the mercy and grace of God is displayed, bitterness and anger arises in the heart. The wonder of the gospel says that even such are welcome in the Father's house. The second son shows us clearly that the Father's love, that God's love, is not dependent upon who we are or what we've done. It's in spite of who we are and what we've done. And the love of God is displayed to us clearly in the gospel. And Jesus says in 1 John 1:18, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So here we have in this parable, Jesus, who was with his Father from eternity, who came and dwelt among us and walked among us, is saying to us in this parable, "See my Father." And that our hearts would be drawn to him. Jesus himself said in Matthew 11:25, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Gracious and merciful God, we come to Thee, who is the Savior of sinners, whether publicans or Pharisees. And Lord, Thou knowest also in our own hearts how often a Pharisaical spirit arises. We pray that we may learn from this parable that repentance is necessary, that Thou would rid us of all thoughts and feelings of somehow unfairness or justified anger against others who enter in. And wilt Thou give to us a realization of the magnitude of Thy mercy? For if we have tasted of Thy greatness of Thy mercy ourselves, we then are able to say, "If I could be saved, anyone can be." So, Lord, help us then to so rejoice that others also may hear of Thee and come to rejoice as well. Be with us in the rest of this day. Graciously forgive all our sin, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.